This past week, I took a short vacation and had the occasion to visit my childhood home. It's the place where my parents have lived for over 35 years. It's a 3-bedroom ranch home. And out back, ever since I've been young, are these shrubs. Instead of experimenting with landscaping in the backyard over the years, my parents have just let them grow. My mom liked the privacy. Well, I recall these relatively small shrubs that adorned the back perimeter of the house 35 years ago. Well, this year, the mock orange shrubs were so large that they were taking over the roof of the house. So my mom had them trimmed back, and she pulled out all of the overgrowth to reveal this incredible internal structure that looked to my children like a magnificent jungle gym. My mom imagined my girls, their ages 4 and 6, that they'd find a place to go inside that space and explore and imagine at the base of the branches. But of course, Olivia immediately entered and started climbing. She treated the shrub like tree branches, and up she climbed. Some of the branches held steady. This is a 40 at least year old shrub. But other decades old limbs snapped in their weakness and fell to the ground. Well, I left my kids with my mom to babysit for a while, and I went and visited a childhood friend. And I returned from that visit to discover my children both delighted and covered in bandages from several mishaps in the shrub that was never meant to accommodate climbing children. So I think the shrub was just this drop down out of heaven to put today's gospel into context. Have you seen images and art of today's gospel? The majestic mustard plant with big, beautiful birds taking up residence on sturdy branches. Some translations of scripture call the mustard seed a tree when it grows up. Well, in reality, this is like children climbing in an overgrown shrub, birds nesting in a mustard plant. I've read that this parable was Jesus' way of telling a joke. "Do you have ears to hear?" he asked his disciples. Those who don't have ears to hear or who don't know much about a mustard plant have that image of this strong, sturdy tree. Those who heard Jesus and got the joke, reimagining the reign of God on different terms. The most minuscule of seeds, it takes 20,000 mustard seeds to fill 1 ounce. And Jesus is starting off by saying, you can find the kingdom of God in these tiny, seemingly insignificant things. And then the mustard seed grows, and mustard plants are invasive, pervasive, and hard to get rid of. No one would scatter mustard seed on the ground in Jesus' day. That would be absurd. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, is like this. Small, invasive, pervasive, and hard to get rid of. Unless you have ears to hear and eyes to imagine, the kingdom of God on human terms is a nuisance. And Jesus gives us this ridiculous image of birds making nests in the branches. Unless the plant is old and overgrown, birds bow and bend in the branches of the invasive mustard plant. Jesus is reversing our expectations, giving us confidence in a God who has great might in weakness, strength in small things, like the delight of children discovering a climbing gym in an overgrown shrub. We have these images in the scriptures today of these reversals of our expectations throughout the lessons we heard this morning. In Samuel, David, the young one, the seemingly insignificant one, is anointed to be the mighty king. Above all the others, the stronger ones, the older ones, who perhaps in the eyes of the people around them should have been king. Psalm 20 gives us this image of strength in the horse and the chariot. Some put their trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will call upon the name of the Lord our God. The horses and chariots will fall down, but we will arise and stand up straight. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he says, "So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day." For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. So we are always confident. Even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, Paul writes. In this section and the surrounding passages, Paul offers the image of the reality of our human lives, that we age, that our bodies decline, but in spite of our human frailty, in spite of the weakness that happens to all of us if we live long enough, there's this power that can't be seen, can only be understood by faith. I was telling my husband while on vacation this week about a memory of visiting my great-grandmother when I was about probably the age of my 4.5-year-old daughter. My great-grandmother had Alzheimer's disease, and by the time I was old enough to know her, she was not in good enough shape to know me. And I wondered out loud to my husband, why did my family take me there? Why did they insist that I visit her in that condition? And my husband had ears to hear and eyes to see. He said, "Of course, so we could have this memory of her today, however incomplete." I believe this is what the psalmist and Paul are conveying when it means to have confidence. This is taking what you're given as it is and having eyes to see the kingdom of God in it, in spite of its appearance. We need God and God working through others in our lives to see the loving point of it all. Our new mission statement for Calvary Church begins, "We strive to be confident in God's love for us." I'll always remember when my mentor taught me about the roots of that word, confident. He said, "Allison, go out there and be confident in your leadership." With the prefix con, or with, and the root of the word being fides, or faith. Doing things con fides, or with faith. Now, when we think of confidence in psychological terms, this is how I thought of it. This priest telling me, go out there and be confident. We think of believing in ourselves or having a conviction. But confidence, con fides, in spiritual terms, is much richer. When we are confident, we do everything with faith, trusting and believing in the power of God, whether we can see it or not. And the wonderful news of this gospel and these readings today is that no matter how small or insignificant the moment or the days, so we can be confident. We can be confident in God's love for us, confident that God's reign is emerging all around us, that the seeds of God's presence are haphazardly sown everywhere. In all sorts of unexpected places, just waiting to emerge. with hope and promise and possibility, and so we are confident. The best example I can think of being confident in something we can't see or fully comprehend is what we experience here every single week around the altar. We gather here and we pray and we break bread and we pour out wine and we pray with confidence that in that act, God, Jesus Christ, is actually present. We believe that when we sing, we are joining angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. People of faith, past, present, yet to come. My great-grandmother, whose lively spirit I never knew. And all the others. And we channel this great power from these fleeting elements derived from the earth. Wheat that's been crushed and grapes that have been stomped on and fermented. We are confident. And God gives us ears to hear and eyes to see that God's presence is in it all. Now, when I visited my best friend, I told her about my mom's overgrown shrub. And she told me about her neighborhood, which is had a lot of overgrown shrubs. And there are all these landscapers who've come into the neighborhood and are pulling them out in the name of revitalization, up-to-date aesthetics. She told me about how her in-laws came and pulled out the shrubs out of her front yard. Well, after the climbing adventure this week and this week's gospel, it came as no surprise to me that my mother, too, has a plan. She's not going to pull out the overgrowth. Instead, she's going to repurpose her stately mock orange into a sanctuary for birds. Amen.